The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
True, it's an amazing, it's a necessary, it's a historical and an essential event. But today, it seems that we continue to face continued opposition to its reality and continued apathy to its necessity. See, many don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave, and there are lots in our world that don't even care whether he did or he didn't. All of these things are also explained with what I like to call April foolish kind of arguments. But the thing is that it's winning. That's the thing that worries me a little bit. I was talking with one of the guys that were actually helping us install our brand new PA system. So using the words of Randy Meyer, we don't look like a traveling rock band anymore. Okay. So these guys are helping us install the new PA system. And then we just got some conversations, and then one of the guys actually asked me. He said, "Hey, Shane," he says, "how many people actually, you know, come to church here on Sundays?" I said, "Well, we're averaging maybe about, you know, 60. And the guy goes, "Why, it seems like this church would actually hold more than 60. And I said, "Yeah, the church holds more than 60. I mean, you know, back then, there was, you know, at one time, there were hundreds of people that actually came to the church." And he looked at me and he said, "Oh yeah, this was back when people actually believed in God." And he said, "And this is back when people actually cared about things." And this happened on Thursday, and right then when we had the conversation, everything in my mind changed. I had spent all week working on a sermon, and I changed it. Because I thought, you know what? This is really interesting. Not only is today Easter Sunday, but today is also April Fool's Day. And I thought, wow, you mean Christians and atheists actually have the same holiday on the same day? I said, and I'm not going to use this. I'm not going to exploit this. And I said, you know what? I'm going to change things. So again, do we believe that Jesus rose from the grave? And if we were to talk about this thing called the resurrection, do we even care that this thing is important, that this idea is important? So today, family, we're going to look at how the resurrection not only happened, but it's absolutely necessary for salvation. Say it again, it's absolutely necessary for salvation. No reconciliation, no salvation. No propitiation, no salvation. No resurrection, no salvation. No resurrection, no salvation. Ticky ticky timbo, no sarimbo. No resurrection, no salvation. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 to 25. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 to 25. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do whatever he promises, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that it represents. Father, we thank you for the gift that was your son. We thank you for all that you have given us. We thank you for salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and we thank you that you have given us this gift. And so today, Lord, we pray that you be glorified. Be glorified, O God. Father, we just thank you as we look into your word and we ponder the things that's happening in our society. Lord, I just pray that you help us to fix our eyes upon you. You are the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just want to say one thing. I saw Margaret's been in here all week. I know I didn't tell Margaret about this. I'm just, you know, because you don't tell people that you're going to embarrass them in the church. But I think the decorating committee and Margaret, I think those, they did a wonderful job with this, these banners, Palm Sunday decorations. And Margaret and her family, thank you for the floor. I felt like I could actually eat breakfast on the floor in the fellowship hall. It looked so clean. Did you guys, well, I mean, it was just, whoo, sunglasses. So thank you very much. So family, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at the real denial of this biblical event, the event of the resurrection, with April Foolish type arguments. The second thing we're going to explore is the real necessity of this thing we call the resurrection. How important is it? Again, no resurrection, no salvation. And finally, we are going to hear the good news of Jesus, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day, all according to the scriptures. So family, the thesis statement for today is this, and the thesis statement is me trying to sum up the entire sermon in just one sentence. Though sin and the pattern of this world cause potential and actual doubt in the reality of the resurrection and apathy in its importance, it is the grace of Christ that awakens our hearts to the beauty, to the glory, and the victory of Christ over the grave, truly making us right with God. And that's a big thing right there, making us right with our Heavenly Father. So the first point today is this. Do we believe that Christ rose from the grave? So the question that I respond to this is, well, can we get an eyewitness? Barna Research, if you guys know Barna, they came out with these amazing statistics. And it says here that 39, so we could say 40, of the general population in America expressly denies that the resurrection actually took place. 4 out of 10 people in America today will deny that the resurrection actually took place. What's really sad about when I looked in a little bit on this statistic is the amount of professing evangelical Christians that were counted in this number. How is that possible? It's said by our society that unfortunately is becoming more and more secularized. Unfortunately, they have influence. And one of the things that society will say today is the one thing that scientific evidence has shown us throughout all of history is that when people die, that's it. There is no coming back. One thing that logic and reason has shown us throughout all of history is that when people die, that's it. There is no coming back. But family, the numerous stories and the numerous eyewitness accounts of the resurrection of Christ is absolutely overwhelming. Because I will say this, when you look at the history books during that time, something definitely happened. And I won't list off all of it, but if you look at Jewish history and the books of Jewish history and Roman historians, they all factually report these 6 things. They all factually report these 6 things. Jesus was crucified as a blasphemer under Jewish law and as a troublemaker under Roman law. So all of history back then will say that that actually happened. They will also say in the history books that Jesus died under the strict procedure of the Roman crucifixion. So every single one of these guys will affirm that Jesus died on the cross. Do you see what we're actually seeing here? They also factually state that he was placed in a tomb with Roman and Jewish guards, to guard against theft. They all say this. They all say this too. 3 days after he was placed in a tomb, they all say the tomb was empty. Wow, you guys seeing this? Then they said, all of them factually state that there was widespread commotion in Jerusalem over the whereabouts of Christ. And they all factually state that there were numerous accounts of people who saw him. Now, none of these guys, none of these Roman historians, Jewish historians, none of them are explaining what happened. They're not saying this is what happened, this is what happened. This is just what they're reporting. They are reporting that the tomb was empty. We can't explain it. We don't know why, but we know that the tomb was empty. And we know that there are numerous accounts of people who say that Jesus was alive. And we can't explain it, but that's what we know, is that there are numerous accounts of people that say that. So people today, our atheist friends today, our agnostic friends today, unfortunately, some of our evangelical Christians today will continue to deny the supernatural event. And they say, well, we know what happened because people don't come back from the dead. That just doesn't happen. That's just not possible. Okay? So we have an explanation. Here's the explanation. The number one most famous explanation that you get on this. Jesus didn't really die. So Jesus basically slipped into a coma-like state, probably because they said, you know, they gave him the sponge of sour wine. Well, in there was some kind of voodoo, heart-stopping narcotic that Jesus drank. And it slowed his heart down so much that everyone thought that he was dead. He awoke in the tomb, and he was able to roll the stone away. And he slipped through the guards without all the Roman and Jewish guards that were there. He was able to slip past them. And then he appeared before the disciples, and that Jesus actually died a little later from his wounds. Now, I'm telling you, I know this sounds outlandish, but these are kind of scientific or academic theories that are being given today and are actually being taught in our universities today, and that Jesus' body was actually found in India. So let me say this in response. Family, if we know one thing about Roman history, Romans knew how to kill people. So when the Romans are telling you that this person is dead, I would believe them. That's just me. Okay, how about this one? This is another one that gets me. Okay, let's just say you're right. Jesus didn't actually die. And Jesus was horribly wounded with whips. He was beaten. Jesus had a spear in his side, right? The guy got a spear in his side. You know, I hear people actually die from getting a little twig in their side. Jesus had a spear in his side. He had wounds in his hands and in his feet. Nails were driven through his hands and through his feet. Loss of blood. His body probably in shock, both physical and mental shock. And he figured out a way to leave a cold tomb and to move the stone, again, to slip past the guards unnoticed and find his way to the disciples where they're hiding. I could just see it. And they were hiding. And here comes Jesus walking to where the disciples were hiding. And he knocks on the door. And the disciples open the door and they look. And Jesus is there, just barely alive. And then goes, "See, I told you I would rise from the grave." And then falls over and dies. Okay, here's my question. Here's my question. After seeing something like this, if that actually happened, after the disciples saw this actual thing, the disciples would become so inspired by this that they would become fanatical for him and actually would die as martyrs for the cross of Christ. Maybe a little April Foolish? I can't tell you that if I saw Jesus coming out of the tomb all busted up like that and then saying, "Here I am, I rose from the grave," and dies, I don't know if I would be inspired to go become a pastor for the Christian church. I don't know if I would go evangelize and tell everybody that the Lord rose from the grave. I don't know if I would actually go on this campaign to do all of those types of things. I don't know if I would be all that inspired. Okay, Shane, you made your point. You got it. Okay. But you know what? There is also the account that says that Jesus did die, but he didn't rise from the grave. Well, but the tomb was empty. Yeah, okay, we get that. So somebody just came and stole the body. And this is what's amazing to me is this is being taught through, you know, in academia today, that the body was just stolen. But what's really interesting is, isn't that what the Pharisees told? Isn't that the story that they wanted told? What do you mean by that? Well, Matthew 28, verses 11 to 15. Matthew 28, verses 11 to 15. As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while you were sleeping, and they stole the body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble." So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. And their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. And what's really funny is they still tell it today. Let me say it one more time. They still tell it today that Jesus' body was stolen. You got to remember. This is the thing that's funny, is that the Roman soldiers actually agreed to this. The idea is, think about this. Think about this. You know, if you just think, just simple psychology here. These guys were so frightened with what took place. Guys, you got to remember, okay? These guys were most likely, probably, awake. Do you know that if you fall asleep while you're on duty in Rome, that meant your head? These guys were probably awake. Could you imagine what these guys were feeling if they, so however it happened, the stone rolled away or the stone exploded and this light comes out and here comes Jesus in his resurrected body comes walking out of the tomb. If I was a Roman soldier, if I was one of the Jewish guards, I would be terrified. At this point, guys, these guys would have probably agreed to anything. Even this story that literally would have cost them their lives. They would have lost their heads for falling asleep, so, you know, it's doubtful, again, that they slept. But here's the other thing, too. The disciples were terrified as well, weren't they? Do you think that the disciples being terrified of being afraid to be, you know, connected with Christ, you think these guys were actually going to go mount an attack or try to figure out a way to steal the body of our Lord? To steal the body of Jesus? This is what the Pharisees said. Now, the thing that's funny is you guys realize, I mean, it's like, well, Shane, you got to be logical. You got to use reason. Well, this is what's amazing to me. If you look at this story, there is something very illogical about this story. Okay? They said Jesus' disciples. You tell them Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples came during the night while you were sleeping. Here's the logical impossibility. How could they know that they was the disciples of Christ if they were sleeping? Okay, just want to make sure you guys got it. And so let's just say that the disciples did somehow, some way, were successful in doing this and stealing the body. They're stealing the body of their Lord, who is dead, and they would be inspired to become fanatical for Christ and would become martyrs for the cause of Christ. Do you see the thing, family? It's the response of the disciples. It's the response of his people, of his followers. That's the thing that gets me. That's the thing that blows me away about all of this stuff. These guys were inspired to do something absolutely extraordinary. So, Shane, all you have is an empty tomb. Okay, it doesn't prove anything. Well, actually, it does. Because really, for Christianity, all we needed was an empty tomb. Why? Because of all of the eyewitness accounts of people that actually saw Jesus alive. Again, remember the video, the eyewitness accounts. Do you guys realize that our country, we are willing to put a person into the death penalty or life in prison based on eyewitness accounts? Do you see how important? We could send somebody to prison for life because of eyewitness accounts. Family, we do not understand and got to recognize the importance of this thing called eyewitness accounts. He was seen by individuals. He was seen by two disciples. He was seen by small groups of the disciples. He was seen by men. He was seen by women. And he was seen by crowds, as many as 500. He was seen, eyewitness accounts. He was also seen by the Apostle Paul. He was seen. And family, finally, most importantly, the reason why we believe, I say this, most importantly, the reason why we believe that Jesus rose from the grave is because the Bible said Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. And really, family, that's all we need. It's really all we need if we really believe that the Bible is God's word. If we believe that the Bible is God's word, then that's all we need. Because in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Romans 4, 25, it says, he was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Family, we're talking about the word of God here. The Bible is the word of God. The Bible is the very breath of God. It is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Meaning is that if all we had was the Bible, then we would have all that we would ever need. Family, the Bible has overcome all opposition. The Bible has overcome every single attack that has come against the scriptures throughout all of history, throughout all the years. We can prove it. This is a fact. You see it throughout all of Christian history. The Bible has been attacked. We've seen battles for its inerrancy, battles for its infallibility, battles for his authority, for its authority, battles upon battles upon battles. And family, let me say this. When the dust settles, the Bible is still standing. Never fails. It's always there. The Bible is still there. The Bible is still standing. And you know what else the Bible says that just makes this all great? Is that Jesus said that heaven and earth would pass away, but my words would remain. And his word is going to remain forever. So family, I believe that Jesus died and he rose from the grave. Because the Bible says that he did. And that's enough for me. And that truth is awesome. And that's the reason why we rejoice, why we glorify the King of Kings today. So the question is this. Okay, so, you know, we can have more conversations about this, but I want to move on. If you have questions about the resurrection that you need additional information and you need additional proof, you can talk to one of the other elders at Central Baptist Church today. That would be Don and Steve. They will be available. Because like I told people, this has been a tough day, tough week, very busy. After this, I'm probably going to go home and pass out. So it happened. Point number two, my question. Do we even care? This is a big one, I think, for our society today. This was a big one for us today. Do we even care? I mean, sometimes I just kind of wonder, like, you know, when you talk to people, I mean, people just, I don't think the guy was wrong. I just think that people just, like, don't care anymore. They just don't care about stuff, you know? Whatever's happened, it just happened. Oh, it's just, this is just how it is. Well, let's do something about it. Oh, I just can't do anything about it. I don't like life. I don't like this. I don't like, you know, our leadership in this country. I don't like the way this country is going. I don't like all of this stuff, so I just don't care. And then we just end up not caring. People just don't care about things. People don't go out anymore. That's another thing I think is kind of interesting. People don't go out. I remember when I was younger here in Colorado, me and Janine, we went out all the time. Going out, doing things, going to the movie. People don't go out anymore. They stay at home and they watch Netflix. That's what we do. We go out and we watch Netflix. All right. But anyway, here we go. Barner Research. 35, this is shocking to me. 35% of those who identify themselves as born-again evangelicals deny that the resurrection actually took place. This is what got me. This was shocking when I read this. 35% of people who say that they are born-again evangelicals deny that the resurrection actually took place. This is absolutely shocking to me. It means that the belief in Christ's resurrection is no more important to just a little more than 3 out of 10 Christians than it does to non-Christians. Christians today are saying that this doesn't really matter all that much. This is Barner Research, family. This is the statistics that we're getting. 3 out of 10 Christians. Okay, so if the statistics is right, that's some of us today. I know it's not here at Central. I refuse to believe it's here at Central. 3 out of 10, little more than 3 out of 10. Family, does it matter to us? Does the resurrection and knowing about the resurrection, knowing about Christ, knowing about his death, knowing about what happened and what took place, does this matter to us anymore? I mean, some of us may say today, well, Shane, what difference does it really make whether Jesus rose from the grave or not? What difference does it make whether he did or he didn't? And you know what, family? This is really, really common. I am shocked, yes. But what was interesting to me is the amount of times I looked past it back in my life and the amount of people that said things like this to me. Like, does it really matter? Again, more than 3 out of 10 don't care about it. Some actually would say, hey, Shane, you know what? Look, I'm not here to know about the intricacies of the resurrection. You know, there was one guy at the church, church in Hawaii. There was a guy that actually came up to me and said these words. He says, Shane, you know what? I didn't come here to learn about the resurrection or the details of the resurrection. I'm not here for that. I'm not here for Christian doctrine. I just want, can you just tell me what I need to know in order for me to go to heaven? And it was just like that. When he said that to me, I just kind of put my head down, started to kind of chuckle a little bit. And I said, you know what you need to know in order for you to go to heaven? You need to know about this thing called the resurrection. We need to believe, right, to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Oh, why do we have to go through all of these things? I don't know why we have to do all of these kinds of things. I didn't make up the rules. This is just what's in the Bible. Okay, fine. But then after I become a Christian, I'll listen to the resurrection and I'll listen to this whole thing. But after that, you know, I just, can we just, you know, deal with things in life? You know, I just, can, what do I need to know in order for me to be a disciple of Christ? I put my head down and I started to chuckle again. Because I said, go ye into all the world and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching him just a little bit of what Christ commanded. No. We're supposed, he says, teaching them everything I have commanded. So he says, so what does that mean? It means when you say, what do I need to know in order for me to be a disciple of Christ? I said, everything. You've got to know everything. We teach everything. Everything, all of this stuff is good stuff. But then we get to kind of the whole idea. This starts to get, okay, well, come on. I mean, what does all of this really have to do with anything? How is this going to get me through my problems in life? How does the doctrine of the resurrection help me make ends meet? Whether we rose or not, Shane, this is not going to fix my family issues or people or my boss at my place of employment. Shane, I have real problems today. I have real problems. What does it matter? I need help. I need advice. I need insight. I need relief. I need peace in my life. I need real answers. And here we go. Now we started to really get to the heart of the issue. He says, fine, I get that he forgives sins. I get that there's salvation with all. But what does this have to do with anything? Why do I need to hear this about the resurrection? And I said this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 to 17. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. Oh, man. That changed everything. His whole demeanor changed. I think some color actually came out of his face. He looked flush. It was very difficult for him. And this is why an apologist by the name of Francis Schaeffer said something that I thought was absolutely amazing. He said, please, when you present the gospel, present it first of all as true, not as helpful. Present it first of all as true, not as helpful. And you know why that's important? Because family, if it is not true, then it's not going to be helpful. It's not going to be helpful. That's why I have a really difficult time. I say this. I'm not fond of gospel presentations like, well, you know, just try him out. Try out Jesus. You know, give Jesus a shot. Just see if it'll change your life. You know, there is some kind of a spiritual money-back guarantee with this. You know, I'm sure you'll get all of these things back. You know, just try them out and see if Jesus and Christianity, see if it actually helps you out. See if it relieves some of your stress. See if it helps you with your pain. See if it brings success. See if it fixes your problems. See if it causes you to thrive in life. But here's the problem, family. If Christ was not raised, then there is no thriving at all. Sure, we could have things in this life that's good, have the good life, but 80 years of bliss and now condemned for eternity. Some may think, well, you know, you're a better person. If you're living with confidence, if you have success and you have lots of friends, then who cares whether the resurrection is true or not? So what? You got it all. My thing is this. You know what? So what if you got it all? So what if you have all the success in the world? So what if you have all the money in the world? If you have all the popularity in the world, if you have all the love of everyone in this world, family, I got news for you. What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own soul. What good? Family, today, let's not be April foolish. Because family, I think what we need to make sure we got clear today is this. Yes, we have problems. I get it. We all got issues. We all got things that we're dealing with, all kinds of stuff. I get it. And then we're here to help, and I'm here to help and do my very best to help everyone to with all of these types of things. But I have news. I have news for us today. We think in society today, we think that our greatest problem are things like rising gas prices or having to pay more taxes or, you know, politics. And we think our greatest problem is our politicians. And we think our greatest problem is having to drive a clunker. Our biggest problem is we just don't have enough money. Our biggest problem is we don't have enough health. Our biggest problem is sickness. Our biggest problem is disease. The biggest problem is the influenza epidemic. That our biggest problem is depression. We think that even our biggest problem is death. Our biggest problem is darkness. Our biggest problem is disaster. No, family, today, what we've got to understand, the reality is this. Our greatest problem is called the wrath of God. That right there pretty much annihilates every problem that we have. Let me say that again. It's called the wrath of God. Facing the judgment of the living God. What a terrible thing it is to fall into the hands of the living God. That's our problem. That's our circle. That's our problem today. That's the real issue. Dying, standing face to face with the living God, and we're going to give an account for all the things that we have done. And we saw in the Bible that it says, even if you break the smallest, the tiniest little commandment of God, you are as guilty as somebody who has broken all of them. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to stand before God with that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 11, Romans 3, 10 to 11, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. No one is seeking God. For years, I've always said that. No one is seeking God, so why do we want to be a seeker-sensitive church? Anyway. Family, no one is righteous. No, not one. Romans chapter 6 says, for the wages of sin is death. See, that's a problem. Family, that's the big problem there. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. And so, family, today, hear the gospel. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Family, did it happen? Yes. Does it matter? Absolutely. It absolutely matters. His death on the cross, family, paid the price for our sins, paid the price for our unbelief. So here's the thing that I always like to say. What is our greatest problem? Our greatest problem is the wrath of God. But you know what our greatest weakness is, man's greatest weakness? It's called unbelief. O ye of little faith. Family, his death on the cross paid the price demanded by God, who is our holy and is our righteous creator, who we have offended and we have rebelled. We have offended and we have rebelled against our creator. His death on the cross accomplished the work, accomplished this amazing work, came in living the life that we should have lived, and he died the death that we should have died. Family, not only was his death on the cross an amazing accomplishment, not only was it amazing, help. Deacons. Okay. Not only was it an amazing, amazing accomplishment, but here is why the resurrection is absolutely important. It's important to know that his work was accepted. So here's the deal. Christ did this amazing work for us, did he not? And we're impressed by it. My question is, was God the Father impressed by the work that Christ did? I can say yes. Do you know why I can say yes? Because Christ rose from the grave. He was resurrected to show that the work was accepted, that the work truly is finished. Family, do we want to know that Christ is truly the Son of God? How do we know that? We know that Christ truly is the Son of God because he rose from the grave. We know that we are truly justified because Christ rose from the grave. We know that we will have life and life more abundant because Christ rose from the grave. I know that we are going to overcome death. We are going to overcome the grave. You know how I know that? Because Christ rose from the grave. Amen. Family, this is why it's important. It's a wonderful truth. It's a necessary truth. We've got to believe it. We got to care about it today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So family, we've got reason to rejoice and be glad. Does not our Lord love us? I mean, that's the thing. Does not our Lord love us? He loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us, to die for our sins. But our Lord gave him life. Christ the Lord is risen today. Family, he is risen. He is risen indeed.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.